Welcome to Pipeline Meeting, where marketers come to talk about sales. I'm your host, Harris Kenny, and I'll be joined by a guest every Monday and Wednesday for brief 15-minute interviews where we'll share tips that you can apply to support your sales team and help them close more deals. If you don't have time to listen to this whole episode, you can skip ahead in the show notes in your podcast player or find the transcript at introcrm.com/podcast. All the episodes are published there.
How are you de-risking the choices you're going to make in marketing? You might have seen me write about that too. Because there's only so much money in the bucket. And if you sat at a leadership table, you know the money is divided between you and every other discipline in the company. It's not just marketing. You are debating about the business decision to invest more in marketing over product, customer success, sales, whatever. So why you? I think one of the challenges I've seen, it sort of speaks to like the mom test or jobs be done or, you know, lean canvas model, is a lot of it is very dense and can take a lot of time. And I don't think research has to take that much time. I think you can actually get really good insights quickly and turn things around. It's just a matter of how, like what questions you ask and how you distill the data. So, you know, what's realistic for a business, right? Because most can't wait 4 months for a giant thing to be built.
Yeah. Let's start with that marketing versus other priorities for the company. What do you think marketers who are really effective at making that case, how do they do that? Do you think it's speaking in expertise where they're wowing people of like, look at everything I know about marketing, you know, trust me? Or is it trying to anchor in the what the other people in the company are thinking about and weighing and sort of being empathetic towards what their concerns would be? How do you think a marketer could be really effective in making that case internally for why they deserve budget?
I think one of the things we forget is that we think the person across from us understands our discipline just as much as we do. Mm. So showing people a list of marketing tactics in a quarterly business review or your weekly syncs or type of like ongoing communication you have to show what you're doing. If you just show like a whole host of things, look at all the stuff we did, people won't get it. The analogy I sometimes give is a developer would never just show you their code base and say, look at this. And then isn't that great? You would have no clue if you don't understand software engineering, like what they're doing. And you shouldn't be expected to if you're not. I think for every other discipline in a business, you have to have the same mentality. So yes, you need to show what you're doing and connect the dots, but not like a laundry list of items that have no bearing on other things the company needs to talk about. You have to tell the story, the internal story of like, we are doing this because the market has shown us this, and we think this is the best chance of achieving this, which is why we're investing in this. And we're going to monitor and measure and see what happens over time.
You mentioned internally making the case as well, not just to maybe executives, but to the team. But let's go to the sales team. Classic tension or misalignment between sales and marketing. In your experience supporting sales folks, what's the way that you've found translating marketing goals to sales goals in a way where they feel like, wow, we're really being supported here. This is exciting. Can't wait to see how this campaign goes. Can't wait to see what marketing does when they roll this out versus, you know, the sort of apathetic, well, we'll see what happens kind of thing.
I can only speak from my experience, right? The table stakes is that you need to get people in front of the sales team that they can close. That's the baseline. When I was in marketing, and I had the benefit because I started from a business development sales background and moved into marketing when I first started my career. So I understood the sales process a bit, but the first thing I did within that, you know, that in the first 90 days, or people talk about that all the time, talking to the sales team about like, okay, walk me through your day. Hmm. Walk me through an average deal. Where are you getting stuck? What are you hearing? Before I even launched anything, I would go across the hall, talk to the director of sales, or just go into like where the sales team's sitting and start talking to them. How's the day going? Hmm. Hey, I'm thinking of this. What are your thoughts around that? And just showing them that I'm doing a lot of heavy lifting to understand everything about the person we're trying to sell to. Most marketers have ever sold anything, and I think they have a really vast underappreciation for how hard it is. And then vice versa, sales thinks it's sometimes arts and crafts, right? And they don't often understand the nuances that go with trying to influence a market before someone's ready to buy. There's give and take there. A lot of what instigates me for doing research is actually when the sales team starts coming back and saying something's off and we probably should learn a little more.
I feel like we've covered the org, but really what you spend a lot of time thinking about is customer interviews and customer research. And we've made the case for the executive team. We've made the case for the salespeople about why we were doing what we're doing. Tell me a little bit about Content Lift and how you help people do customer research interviews that don't suck. What does that mean to do that or to not do that, I guess?
Yeah. Well, the reason I say that, there's a few reasons. There's a bit of a history there. I have always approached research as a pillar of how I design a go-to-market strategy. When I started, I just touched on it earlier. I was an operations, business development, salesperson, but I had to wear the marketing hat because we were a very lean organization. This is back, you know, early 2000s. I didn't have the budget for research external to us. So I had to go and do it myself. And I would go and talk to people why they're doing the things they're doing. And I just carried that on. And then when I started working with more SaaS companies, and you know, 8 years ago, we often even just call them tech companies. But now it's SaaS is sort of like the dominant business model in the landscape. I would talk to founders or heads of marketing and sometimes product people about, you know, okay, before we get started, let's talk about what your customers are saying. And most of the time, especially if it was a technical team that founded the company, they're like, oh no, we don't really talk to them. And I was just floored because I thought that was the norm. But as I've slowly progressed, it's not. And there's a lot of reasons for that. When I did my own due diligence around Content Lift, I went and talked about 24 marketing leads at various like seniority levels and said, well, how are you using customer interviews? Qualitative research is what they historically call it. Surveys would be like quantitative, right? Or like your dashboards. And they said, well, we don't do it at all, or we do it and we're really bad at it, and these are all the reasons why. And I have it on my LinkedIn profile, all the things people have said to me. Or the third question, oh, no, we're good there, which is a great answer. I felt, okay, there's probably an opportunity for me to help. So there's all these reasons why they can suck, but the real reason is either they don't do them or they don't do them well. And we could get into that, but those are like the reasons why I call it that. So now Content Lift is really about helping marketing teams for marketing research to build a go-to-market strategy, you know, about all the ways they can, all the things they can do to sort of influence how and why people buy. One of the things I often heard was, we've done it, but we didn't know how to use the data. And you hear that when people talk about building personas. They'll build a persona, it'll sit in a digital shelf, they never use it. Or the data is just sort of what we looked at as historically things that the advertising world would use, which is demographics and firmographics, which is fine. But that doesn't really tell you how and why people would buy a B2B product. And what is the evaluation criteria they go through to decide on those products, which is things you need to know for marketing and sales.
What's the alternative? What is Brian's perspective, Content Lift's perspective on the alternative to the traditional persona? What's the quick pitch on this is the better way?
For me, it's really mapping out what is every step that a company or person takes when they move from identifying a problem to then handing over their credit card or signing their statement of work or whatever it is. People don't just wake up in business and decide to buy something. There's a whole progression that happens and a tipping of the events that happens. Well, what are those things and why do they happen in the business? And what are the things that influence their mindsets around choosing product Y over product X? That, to me, those things are a persona. And you can follow, you know, Jobs Be Done is a really good innovation framework. People find that out. There's the MOM test, which a lot of product people have used that over the years. There's all the business canvas model approaches. There's the Buyer Persona Institute. They sort of focus on personas that way. I'm not alone in this type of work. Everyone sort of has their own flavor, but they all are grounded in that sort of mindset. Where did you start? Where did you end up? And what is everything that happened in between? Because if you can map that out, then you can map out, okay, how am I going to influence this Marquette with my Marquette team, right? So that's how I look at it. And I think it's starting to become more the norm. B2B is notorious for trying to sell feature sets and buzzwords and all that stuff. And I don't think that's ever going to go away, but I'm seeing more and more appreciation for those types of thought process. People approach this work as you really want something that's simplistic and doesn't take months and months to put together, because you need results yesterday in any business. I think there's a balance between applying some rigor around your research process, but still being able to deliver results quickly.
Yeah. I think that is a challenge for marketers these days, especially right now. It's cool insight. That's great. But what are we doing to move the needle? What are we doing to be more confident about hitting our numbers next year? Are you finding with people thinking more about budgets right now, is that accelerating your deals because people are like, I want to get these insights fast so I can apply it and get better results? Or are you seeing people who you were talking to say, oh, never mind, this was a nice to have, but we don't have time to talk to our customers, we'll do it later?
Most of the time I get people that are converted to a research mindset. And there's a lot of times it's either we don't have the time or we want to audit what exists. Those are sort of the two reasons I get brought in. I would say right now, people are concerned about what next year is going to look like. And they want to have the best chance around effectively managing their marketing budget and managing the company's money. I was talking with someone I know who's in demand gen. We're just catching up this week and we were talking about the budgets around research projects. And he said, it's funny, someone will spend $400,000 on LinkedIn ads and do nothing without batting an eye. But if I come in with a research project and say, it's $20,000 to do this, whoa, you
know, right.
So, but that's okay. That's how we think about these things sometimes, because the LinkedIn ads we just see as closer to a sale rather than something that can increase the odds of us getting that sale.
Right. Yeah. I mean, the research, the strategy is what informs that whole big campaign in the first place, right?
Absolutely.
Is there anything we didn't talk about that you wanted to touch on?
I just want to reiterate, if anyone's thinking of doing this work, which I think they should, anything new that you're doing in business, marketing, sales, development, simplicity for the first take is always the best path. If anyone ever wants to reach out to me, I take a lot of DMs, a lot of emails, always happy to help people walk through how they can approach this type of work, because it can be a little overwhelming if you've never done it before. So yeah, happy to show people what's worked for me and other clients if they're interested.
For sure. Where can they find you?
LinkedIn. I live there. I live there too much. My wife doesn't get it. That's okay. And then contentlift.io. Both ways. I'm always happy to help anyone if they reach out. I'll always answer.
That's all for now. You can find show notes at introcrm.com/podcast. The theme music for Pipeline Meeting is by Neighborhood Vandal. If you learned something, consider sharing this show with a friend. Thanks for listening.